Okay, Sharp Money, he's Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. Episode 2, Thursdays, we run the board. It's a simple formula, Somich. Sunday nights, we recap the action, look ahead to the next week. Thursdays, we run it back. We run the board. Rotation number, simple. We're going to save Washington and Green Bay for the end. For those paying attention, we're going to get started. Now, if you think about the storylines coming into week 2, I think there's two massive ones. One, the quarterback situation with the Giants. And two, 251 on rotation. New England at Miami. A mutinous situation with your Finns. I think that's a big deal coming into this because you've got Vrabel pissed off 0-1. You've got Miami listless, completely dreadful on both sides of the ball. And they're laying.
Yeah, this game is one of the toughest to handicap all week, Patrick. Because, look, I think it's short. I think Miami should be a bigger favorite. If they were going to play 100% and we were going to give full effort. I don't know if I'm getting full effort here. And this is one of the toughest parts about week one to week two. When you're looking at that Miami Dolphins-Indianapolis Colts game, and if you do power ratings like I do where I will max adjust 3 points between two teams, am I moving Miami down? Am I moving Indianapolis up? How am I kind of using that movement so that I'm not too far off market when I come in these early weeks where priors definitely matter, but you got to pay attention to what we saw on the field. And what I saw on the field was a lack of effort from the Miami Dolphins. It wasn't just a problem of coaching. This was a problem of effort and attitude. I can't back Miami in this spot. I also think they're better than New England, though. So it's one of those situations where this is one where I'm going to watch this game from a side and total perspective. I would lean toward the Patriots plus the points if I was going to do anything. I'd actually just play Patriots money line minus 102 right now over at DraftKings instead of taking the 1.5. I am going to play some Keyshawn Booty props here, though, Patrick. He played 83% of the snaps at wide receiver for the Patriots week one. He was there in both the 2-wide and 3-wide sets. Stephon Diggs was not in the 2-wide and 3-wide. Keyshawn Booty was over 37.5 receiving yards for him. But this is going to be a fascinating watch because the Dolphins season could be over. Tyreek Hill could be traded, and we could be doing a full reset if they lose this game to the Patriots this week.
Well, first off, the fact that the Dolphins are favored after literally a mutinous performance. And listen, we know the history early on, September football down in South Beach, and the Patriots have wilted in the Miami Heat over the last 5 years. I can't touch the side. I can't touch the total. I would say this, the Raiders, no Gonzalez most likely, which is the biggest miss on that defense. The Raiders had success going deep, 4 completions over 20 yards. I'd look to Waddle. I know the focus is going to be on, obviously, Tyreek Hill. You can get Waddle right now, 50-plus, $119. I'll go over on Waddle.
I just don't trust Miami to the offense to click at all. I mean, like, Tua looked so bad last week they couldn't get anything going. The one thing they got going was Achan with 10 receptions, 33 yards. Maybe you want to look at him as well. I do think this is a game where if I'm playing anything, I'm playing the over. Miami's secondary, we could be out there on Miami's secondary. The Storm Duck, who was their number one cornerback, he's out this week. The number two cornerback injured on the injury report. It was already a JV secondary. If you like the props on the Dolphins receivers, I think you just play the game over because I don't see the Dolphins defense stopping the Patriots here.
Yeah, McDaniel was a -$2 offshore to be the first coach fired.
Ouch.
I think I saw Callahan 14-1. That's not the GM that brought him in. He's live. I think Daboll is going to get an opportunity here. Stefanski's not going anywhere. McDaniel, if you saw leading up to this game, if you've seen some of the press conferences, my man is a beaten down brother. Started off well for your guy down in South Beach. Not anymore. Let's continue. 253. Jacksonville's at Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's laying 3.5 off the 5.5 opener. I think this team is right here. It's impossible to conceptualize how bad Cincinnati was in Cleveland. Cleveland was the much better football team. It just happened to be a 1-point win for Cincinnati with the 2 missed kicks. Cleveland did everything they wanted to do with Flacco against that defense.
Yeah, and this is a better offense now. You have Jacksonville coming in with better wide receivers and Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter than what we saw in Cleveland. I think this is a Jacksonville team that's going to effectively move the football against the Cincinnati Bengals defense that gave up 370 yards and 22 first downs to a lackluster Cleveland offense. Jacksonville is a better version of them. Better quarterback, better wide receivers, better running backs, better offensive line. I like the Jags here. We talked about them on Sunday night when it was 4.5 when we were on. I took a piece of Jacksonville at that number. I would still play them at 3.5. I think this kicks at 3. So if you want Jacksonville, now is your chance to get them before we go to the key number of 3, Patrick.
Yeah, 15% of these games are going to be decided by 3. I see Jacksonville catching the half. So I will take Jacksonville. Obviously, Cincinnati, historically dreadful week 1, but also week 2. And we can't overstate how bad they were in Cleveland. They just happened to get out of there, and survivors survive with Cincinnati.
7 yards in the second half, Patrick. How do you have 7 yards
good?
When you're the Cincinnati Bengals offense in the second half? That is atrocious. Now, I also have an overplay. I played this at over 49.5 a week and a half ago. I would still lean toward the over. I still think this is more of an offensive battle than a defensive battle. But the shift Jacksonville made in their secondary, they played a lot of man last year. They're playing almost exclusively too high safety, which means that you're going to see them force the Bengals to dink and dunk. I think that may slow it down a little bit. That was a change in the Jacksonville defense we saw year over year.
We continue Sharp Money 255. All right, so do you remember Sunday night here on Sharp Money what this game opened? You and I discussed it heavily. Cleveland, Baltimore. Cleveland played well. Baltimore emotional Sunday night with the 1-point loss. Harbaugh, I still can't believe he punted the ball. I digress. A lot of double-digit leads given up by your guy John Harbaugh in 18 years there in Baltimore. The number opened 13 and a half-ish.
Yeah, it did. And we got some of that 13.5. And I'm pretty happy about it because this got as low as 10.5. We've kind of rebounded a little bit. Some Baltimore money come into the market. We're sitting at 11.5 now, total sitting at 44.5. I'm still Cleveland or pass here, Patrick, because I go back and I look at what I expect from the Ravens. And everyone's like, well, you know what? Ravens are definitely going to bounce back. Let's rewind 1 year. They lost a tough week 1 game by a toenail to the Kansas City Chiefs. They lost week 2 against the Raiders in a game they had no business losing as double-digit favorites. I'm not positive we're just going to see the A-plus effort out of the Ravens here. This feels like a pretty sleepy spot for them, and I think Cleveland can do enough to keep this game close. So I don't like Cleveland to win. I think you survivor heads out there, if you want to play the Ravens, use them as a free square to get through this week. I do think it is one of those free squares, but I like the points with Cleveland. We took the 13.5 on Sunday. I'd still take the 11.5, Patrick.
Yeah, you can find a 12 over at Circa if you're in town. Again, we know the trends from week 1, unders cashing like crazy. I will say this, maybe a sneaky over here, 44.5. Let's not forget how bad, and it's been pretty consistent. I know it's Josh Allen, but this Baltimore defense has been leaky, impressed by the Cleveland offense. And last year, Baltimore scored 33 points at home. Look for them to bounce back, but that's a huge number. 257, the Giants. Jackson Dart, the watch is on. I mean, if you literally break down the Russell, the problem with Wilson at this point is he's too jittery in the pocket. He's too concerned about the pass rush. We see that in his play. He's constantly, when he's pressured, he's one of the worst at completing passes. When he's got a clean pocket, he's fine. He's 36 years old. He's a mess. The charade and the insulting nature with which rolling this dude back out there, I digress. Let's get to the game. And my board is refreshing. So if you have a number, Giants, Dallas, 257. Yes, we're up to 5.5 with Dallas laying it and 44.5 on the total.
We are all over the place, Patrick. You can get a 4.5 on DraftKings. There's a 6 at BetMGM, a 1.5 delta right now out there in the market. Deron Bland injured at practice on Monday for Dallas. He may miss up to 2 weeks. That's a pretty big loss with Diggs, who's already on the sideline. Look, we thought this Giants defensive line was going to be dominant. You know what they weren't against Washington last week? Dominant. 21% pressure rate on pass rush snaps. That's awful for what we thought was going to be a very good defensive line. You know what was really awful? The Giants offensive line, Patrick. And that's where I think the biggest issue is here, is that Russell Wilson behind a bad offensive line is a recipe for disaster, especially with the way Dallas playing defense here. The way that you can get to If the way the Giants want to get to this Dallas defense is by throwing it deep, hitting neighbors on 40-yard pass plays, hitting Wandell Robinson down the field. They don't want to play dink and dunk. Dallas, switching their defensive coordinator over this year, played almost exclusively too high safety. It's why we saw A.J. Brown get taken out of the game against Philadelphia. I think they're able to take out the New York Giants wide receivers deep. I like Dallas in this spot. I hate the fact that we're missing Bland because I don't love the number 1 and 2 cornerbacks missing, so I do think that makes a difference. But I'll have Dallas in some survivor numbers. I don't want to lay the 6 with them. I think it's a little bit too big of a number, but if you told me to pick something, it'd be Dallas or pass.
Yeah, I'd run to FanDuel and DraftKings right now. I'm with you because it's 4.5 on Dallas. That number is all over the board. South Point is showing 6. The 4.5 is worthy of a lay. That's how bad the Giants are right now. The Jackson Dart halftime, will he be the starter after the break? Yeah. Really is the watch. That's what it comes down to.
We'll have two Giants quarterbacks this week, Patrick.
Oh, yeah, they'll have a package. I completely agree with that. 259, sharp money here. Mike Somich, Patrick Maher. The Rams are at Tennessee. This one's fascinating because the Rams should not be laying 5.5. I'm sorry. It's 41.5 on the total. A couple of things. Callahan is a disaster. We know that. Went back and watched Cam Ward. Those drops, there has to be some regression back to catching a couple of balls because Ward was great. First start, altitude, on the road. I thought the composure was awesome. They'll clean it up a bit. The Rams, 5.5. No, thank you. I'll take Tennessee catching.
Ah, here we go. First disagreement. I laid it with the Rams on Sunday night. I laid that 5.5. I thought we could get out to 6 or 7. Look, yes, Tennessee did have a bunch of drops. They could have played better. You know what? They also could have played... they could not have played much worse in specific scenarios. That offensive line is absolutely terrible. I think the Rams defensive line, which is their best unit outside of the wide receiver room and possibly the quarterback, is going to cause huge problems for this Tennessee defensive line. They gave up almost 50% pressure on dropbacks, 50%. And now you have the Los Angeles Rams coming to town, which is one of the best defensive lines in the NFL. I just don't see Cam Ward getting comfortable here. I realize everyone talked about how tough that week one matchup is. This week two matchup is just as difficult on the defensive perspective in my mind. But on top of it, you now add in a real offense. This isn't Bo Nix, okay? This isn't Sutton out there. You've got Puka Nacua, one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver. We can talk about that if you want to.
I love Puka Nacua.
You got Devontae Adams, who was underrated very good. We'll talk about Devontae Adams. I like his wide receiver prop in a second here. And you got Matt Stafford, who the back looked just fine. Tennessee's defense not going to create pressure. Tennessee's offensive line going to be an absolute mess here. I like laying it with the Rams. I think they are just that much better. By the way, Rams are still not the favorite in the NFC West. If you don't have a Rams ticket, go out and get one plus 170 on DraftKings. For some reason, the Niners still the favorite, Patrick.
With that house of cards.
What are we doing?
With the house of cards that is Purdy, which is... Obviously, we know, and we'll get to the game here on Sharp Money in a bit. We know he's not going to be playing down in New Orleans, a good spot to rest him, but he could be out a few more weeks. Kittle already out. The defense lost pieces. I totally agree there. One thing I will say, and there's disparate opinions on how to cap the look-ahead situation. Look-ahead for the Rams next week, Eagles. A little revenge maybe on their mind. Sleepy trip to the Texans. Excuse me, to the Titans. I'll take the points with the Titans. Okay, next up, rotation number 261. Buffalo is at the Jets. Obviously, emotional high Sunday night for Buffalo. Turnaround, travel in division, open 8.5. It's all the way down to 6.5, so sub the 7. And we've got a total of 46.5, and immediately love the over here.
Yeah, look, I think the money is right. I would take the Jets if we ever get a 7.5 up there on the board. I don't think we'll ever get it. Right now we're 6.5, basically painted. We did see some 7.5s early. I agree with you. I like the over. I think this Jets offense is going to have some success. We saw, again, like, I'm not going to say that, you know, this Jets offense in the backfield specifically is Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. I think that's a little ridiculous. But at the same time, Justin Fields and Breece Hall, not bad, Patrick. They should be able to have success running the football. And I loved the game plan. We were dealing with new offensive coordinators in New York. I love the game plan we saw. 12 of the 15 runs that were stretch runs, they ran away from Watt, who's one of the best run defenders in the NFL. It means they're strategically thinking about how to try and be successful on the offensive side, something that a couple NFL teams might want to take up if they want to get a little bit better. I think the Jets have success offensively. I agree with you. I like the over here. I also like Josh Allen's rushing over here, 35.5 yards in this game.
Good one.
Aaron Glenn came over from Detroit. Detroit was number one in man coverage last year. The Jets played almost exclusively man against Pittsburgh. You know what Josh Allen is really good at running against? Man coverage. He's going to see a lot of it in this game. If you think this game's going over the total, Josh Allen's going to use his legs. He's sitting at 35.5 rush yards. Let's take the over there, Patrick.
Good correlation, Samo. Yeah, I thought Fields looked sharp. This Bills secondary is banged up. The Jets defense is overrated. We know the Bills are going to score. I do love the over. Buffalo at the Jets. You can find a 46. 263, my. Chicago at Detroit with the meltdown on Monday night. Short, Ben Johnson obviously returning to Detroit here. And the assumption is, look, Detroit opened 4.5. It's been bet up to 6. There are 6.5s, plenty of them. So if you're laying with the Lions, you got to lay the 6, even though you're getting the worst of it. And you got to take the 6.5, obviously, with the Bears. The assumption, after averaging 3.8 yards per play last week, their worst showing since 2020, that the Lions, Montgomery and Gibbs, ran for a combined 44 yards, that this is just magically, with the cerebral Dan Campbell, going to fix itself and right the ship because of what we saw in 15 wins last year. That's a bit much, Samo. I'll take the 6.5.
Sounds like we're both just laying in the weeds here. I haven't taken the 6.5 because I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting to see if I can
make it a 7.
Like, I'm going to bet 6. Don't get me wrong. I'll happily take 6, but I would rather have 7. So I might as well chill and wait and see if we can ever get there. You know my favorite stat from last week, Patrick? The Detroit Lions had -4 rush yards before contact. -4 rush yards before
contact. Feels like a scheme issue. Feels like a scheme issue.
Might be an offensive line issue as well. We talked about it on Sunday night. This is a completely different offensive line. This is not a top 5 unit. This is hopefully top 15. It's a huge drop off. It's not just the coaches. It's the offensive line. I love Chicago in this spot. Everyone's banging on them. You got Ben Johnson, who, if there's anyone in the world who could tell you Jared Goff's shortcomings, it's either McVay or Ben Johnson. He is going to have this defense dialed up to be able to stop what Goff does well. This offensive line is not great for Detroit. I think Chicago's offense also knows how to have success against this Detroit defense because I trust in Ben Johnson. I will happily take the 6, the 7, whatever it is. And if you're a money line parlay player with a little dog action you like to get in there, I think Chicago can win this game outright, Patrick.
Yeah, it wasn't just Ragnow. We know this. It's Ratledge, the rookie at guard, who got absolutely abused last week against the Packers. The Packers are good. Packers are Super Bowl contenders, and you may move your family to Green Bay. That's how much you love in the Packers. But Chicago, I will take the 6.5. Remember, a couple things here. Last year, Thanksgiving, the Lions were laying doubles, and it came down to Eberflus not calling a timeout as that time tick. Caleb played well in the game when it was expected to be a blowout. Chicago hung. I think they hang in week 2 at Ford Field. 265. Very disappointed in Seattle last week. Very winnable game. Didn't like what you saw from Darnold. They head to Pittsburgh. All right. Pittsburgh, obviously an emotional win. Open 2. It's bet up to the key number of 3 and a very low total of 39.5. Seattle, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, look, I did not think I was going to bet this football game because I never thought we were going to get a 3 with Seattle. And now I'm sitting staring at it and I haven't clicked the button yet, Patrick. It's Seattle or pass for me, catching 3 here. I think the Seattle defense is the best unit on the field here. I think it's close between Seattle and Pittsburgh's defense, but I do like Seattle's defense a little more. The Jets had a lot of success running the football last week against Pittsburgh. Seattle did not have much success running the football last week against the 49ers. If Seattle can get the run game going, I think they win and cover here. I haven't gotten to the window yet. This is one of the most heavily bet games, by the way, on the public side. 73% of the wagers coming in on Pittsburgh, just 27 back on Seattle. That's why we've seen this line move for that full point. It's Seattle or pass for me. I haven't found a -110 on the 3. Right now it is available on DraftKings. I don't have access to DraftKings, so I can't get to that one. But if we ever get a 3.5, I'm definitely playing Seattle. And I may end up with a Seattle -110 at +3 if I can get it.
Sometimes you got to lay off. The Jets did nothing to exploit Rodgers' lack of mobility. That head coach probably focuses a little bit more on that. Darnold, I'm down on. I'm laying off the game. Total, like I said, 39.5, a couple of 40s out there. But Mike, you mentioned it's 3. Actually, South Point showing a 2.5. So juice headed down a little bit at most shops. 267, the big news. No Brock Purdy, 99%. Most likely not going to play at New Orleans. New Orleans had an opportunity and a lot of exhales from survivor players as Arizona, your buddy, Kyler Murray with the outfit, headed to New Orleans last week. Now, San Francisco, the application against the spread on a quarterback. If you're talking about Mahomes, if you're talking about Allen, if you're talking about Lamar Jackson, you're 6.5 and 7 points. Obviously, the backup quarterback's going to play into this as well. The question is, what does Purdy mean to the point spread? And the answer is 4. Mac Jones is in. This number has dropped. It's 3, 3.5 with San Francisco laying it at New Orleans.
Oh, it's funny, Patrick, because it's not Purdy that equals 4. It is Purdy, Kittle, and possibly Juwan Jennings that equals 4, because all of them may be out. And with that being said, kind of like the Niners -3, Patrick. I was hoping we'd get a 2.5, but I still have San Francisco as a meaningful favorite in this game heading into New Orleans, who I have power rated as my worst team in the NFL. The drop-off from Purdy to Mac Jones, we'll see. I thought Purdy was awful in Seattle. I thought he probably should have had 4 interceptions, not just the 2. I feel like they probably should have lost that game if Reek Woolen, you know, had just stepped up instead of stepped back against Tonjes, their backup tight end, who had never caught a pass before Sunday. I also think, and this is me projecting a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. I think Ricky Pearsall is in for a monster day. If you go back and you look like what Mac Jones did with Jacksonville last year, he absolutely fed Brian Thomas Jr., his number one wide receiver, had 10-plus targets the last 7 weeks. Now we go over here to San Francisco. It's Ricky Pearsall, it's McCaffrey, and it's absolutely nothing else in the passing game. I think Pearsall gets fed in this game from Mac Jones. We know he likes to go to number one wide receivers. And I think Mac Jones a little better than people think. You got to remember, Shanahan wanted to draft Mac Jones back when they had traded for the number 3 pick from the Dolphins. The plan was to originally trade up and take Mac Jones. They ended up not taking Jones. He ends up in New England. He found his way back to San Francisco. I think that Shanahan actually likes him as a quarterback. I'll lay the 3 with San Francisco and New Orleans.
Rattler looks and plays small. We know that. But here's the key. The Saints gave up 5.2 yards per carry to the Cardinals running backs last week. Shanahan knows exactly what the game plan is here. He's going to run the football, and then he's going to run it more. I think it's a bit of an overreaction. I'm right there with you. I will lay the 3 with San Francisco at New Orleans. Next up, 269, bottom 3 of week 1. Carolina couldn't have looked worse against Jacksonville. They're at Arizona. So remember, it's an up-down league, perceptive, the market. Don't overreact. However, we take a look at this number, 269. Arizona opened 5. They've been bet up to 7. 6.5's in the market, hosting Carolina, 43.5-ish on the total.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I'm going to pass on the side. A little too rich for my blood to lay the 6.5. Also, I would kind of need 7.5 to be able to play back on Carolina. So I think this game is properly priced, which, hey, guess what? One of the most fluid markets in the world should be have games properly priced. I'm not interested in the side or the total here. I do want to target Trey McBride, because that is who I believe we're going to see Kyler Murray target quite a bit as well. He got 9 targets in the first game, ended up with 61 yards. His reception yards is at 60.5. Let's take the over here. Carolina week 1 gave up Brenton Strange as the leading wide receiver, the tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that McBride has a monster game here. I'll take +145 anytime touchdown for McBride. I'll take over 60.5 reception yards, Patrick, but I'm going to pass on the side in total.
Yeah, I'm going to go side total pass. I'm going to go James Conner, who's been a revelation. 63.5, we're going to go over there. That front for Carolina, dirty. We're going to go over rush yards on Conner. Lay off the game side and total.
On that one, Patrick, yep. Just want to jump in. Keep an eye on Benson's total. It's not been released in market yet. I was actually interested in going Benson over the other running back for Arizona. Conner out of 20 carries last week, Conner got 12, Benson got 8. So it's not the Conner backfield that we expected or we saw a couple years ago. If you project this to be a blowout, if you think Arizona's covering, Benson's going to get the late carries. And so I would almost rather take the Benson over if you want to try and fade this Carolina front than take the Conner over. Also, don't hate Benson last touchdown in this game, because he will be the running back on if this is a blowout late. He's got a shot at a big number getting the final touchdown this game.
271. So you want to be a handicapper and you want to win the NFL. All right, explain this one to me. Denver, Indianapolis. So how do you handicap this? Do you react to your woeful Miami Dolphins laying down and Daniel Jones going Joe Montana? So you bump up in your power rankings, you bump up the Indianapolis Colts, or do you look at Denver and you say, didn't perform too well, a playoff team from last year against the Titans? Well, the market says the Colts are legit. Denver opens 3.5. I'm looking at a 1.5 at DraftKings, but most shops are showing 2, 2.5 with Denver laying it. And you got a 43 on the total.
Yeah, it's funny because on Sunday night, we're like, well, you kind of like the 3 with Indy. It's a big number. I laid the one with Denver. You can get Denver at one at Caesars right now. This is way too big of an overreaction, Patrick. Like I mentioned earlier, when you're looking at games, you're especially early in the season, you're only adjusting 2 to 3 points total in a game. So if you're bringing Miami down 2 or 3 points, there's no room to upgrade Indianapolis. And you kind of have to decide, how am I making these moves? Who gets an upgrade? Who gets a downgrade? This is such a big difference in opponent from week zero or week one to week two here for Indianapolis. Miami's defense has no one in the secondary, and they got injured during that game. Now you are playing one of, if not the best secondary in football, and a team that created pressure on 50% of passing plays last week in Denver. By the way, Daniel Jones not good when you get him heated up. Like this is a nightmare type matchup for me. At three, I was interested in Indy, but now you can get a one at Caesars, you can get a one at Bet365. I'll lay the one with Denver. I think that's the right side here.
Overreaction to Miami. Jones was pressured on just 24% of his dropbacks. He potentially is taking on the best defense in football. And by the way, the Dolphins didn't cover anybody either. So it was a walk in the park for Steichen and Jones, a much different story. Overreaction, lay the point and a half with Denver. Next up, a big one. Surprised this isn't an island, a standalone game, and that is 273, Philadelphia at Kansas City. We know the story. Philly with the win, extended rest. Kansas City with the loss, and they lost everyone. Worthy is a big question. Looks like he's going to give it a go with the brace with the separated shoulder. But one thing, Herbert was a big standout against Kansas City's defense on that Thursday night in Brazil. I also thought Mahomes was exquisite in the game, all right, but just didn't have a lot to work with. Take a look at the number. Kansas City right now, this number is anywhere between Philly, a point, got a pick 'em at circa, a point and a half, Philadelphia, and 46.5 on the total.
I don't know why Philadelphia is only a point favorite here, Patrick. I went back to my numbers. I'm like, okay, what can I adjust? What mistake did I make? Because you could say I was the VSIN Kansas City Chiefs homer for the last 3 years because I kept picking them to win the Super Bowl. I thought they were the best team in football. I love Patrick Mahomes. This number's ridiculous. This isn't the Kansas City Chiefs that went to the last three Super Bowls. This is a Kansas City Chiefs team that is down to Hollywood Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster to be able to make plays. The injury that Worthy has is one where he can't lift his hand above his head. That's not great for a wide receiver. You kind of need to be able to reach up and jump for footballs and not feel any pain. Worthy can't do that. We'll see how long he lasts. Without him, this team is slower than me and you running a 40. These guys are like, and then you go to the backfield. Pacheco looks like he's cooked. It looks like Hunt is your number one running back. I thought the offensive line played better. I thought that Mahomes was phenomenal. I just don't see why Philly isn't three here. Every way I went through the permutations of it, I kept landing back on Philly minus three. I bet Philly plus one earlier this week. I would still happily lay pick. I would happily lay one with the Philadelphia Eagles here. This would take a Herculean effort from Mahomes to be able to keep them in this football game. And with the number where it is right now, you don't even need to win by margin if you're Philadelphia. You don't need to win by four. A 3-point win, a 2-point win, they all cover. I don't understand this number.
Jalen Hurts squarely entered the MVP chat. The centerpiece of the offense was not Barkley against Dallas. It was Hurts. He ran the ball at will with the two scores. Herbert showed you can run against this defense. I'll lay away from the side in total. I'll go over 40.5 rush yards on Jalen Hurts.
I don't hate that at all. I think that Mahomes' rush prop is also a very interesting one because he's going to have to take off if they want to move the football. I think both these quarterbacks are highly likely to go over their rushing yard prop.
What did we take from Atlanta and Minnesota? That's the next matchup here, Sharp Money. Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher, 275. Atlanta, heartbreaking, though you do take positives from the Penix performance, especially late. Atlanta at Minnesota. How do you judge Minnesota? The fourth quarter was quite a pivot from the young quarterback. And Minnesota off the 5 opener down to 3.5, hosting Atlanta 44.5 on the total.
Well, let's start with a little different discussion here, Patrick, because we did our Sunday night show with Sharp Money. You can catch it every Sunday night, drop it Monday morning, listen to the instant reactions. But we didn't get to talk about the Monday night game. So let's talk a little Minnesota-Chicago, because I thought that was very interesting. What we saw in the scripted drive for Chicago was awesome. Like that's the Ben Johnson we were talking about. That's what we were looking for the rest of the night. Caleb, he missed a couple dudes. So he looked awfully good running the football, but he was missing some people out there. On the other side, J.J. McCarthy throws one of the worst pick sixes I've ever seen in my life. They're down 17-6. It looks like this puppy is absolutely over. Signed, sealed, delivered. The Bears going 1-0. And he bounces back. I thought he played very well. He delivered the football exceptionally well in the fourth quarter. 6-for-8, 2 touchdowns, 97 yards. I'm not sure who the better team was, though. When I walked away from that game, I don't know. Is Minnesota or Chicago better, Patrick?
Such an about face. It was, I'll say this, Minnesota's got a great defense, and Flores is very, the ingenuity is always on point. I think the defense can get got at times, and Chicago left a lot of opportunities on the field. This Atlanta defense is garbage. The first thing I looked at was the 44.5. I'm going over. Both teams score. That Atlanta offense is legit.
Yeah, I don't like hate the look at the over. At 3.5, give me Atlanta as well. I mean, this was 5 earlier in the week. We talked about getting it 4.5. I played the 4.5. I'm not sure if you did as well. Even with Minnesota playing on Monday night, we've talked about this all season. I like betting against Monday night teams on Sunday because you have injury risk for them, which you don't for the team that has already completed their game. You also have a short rest here for Minnesota coming back after a Monday night game that was very emotional. We'll see what they're able to do here. I like Atlanta in this spot. I like the over in this spot. I think that Penix is going to have another good game. It sounds like we are not have to worry about the injury on the outside for Atlanta as well, as their number one wide receiver was considered banged up. He is going to be in there. So give me the Falcons here. I think they rebound. They drastically outplayed the Bucs. That was one very, very bad defensive drive and a missed field goal. Atlanta was the better team. I'll take the points here with Atlanta.
Yeah, Raheem Morris kills me in-game, not a head coach. Maybe he's a play caller. He's certainly not a head coach. He lost Atlanta a bunch of games with decision-making last year. Penix looks legit. It's fascinating if you look at that 2024 draft. So Caleb goes 1. The sky is falling in Chicago. Jaden Daniels, he's on his way to Canton. He goes 2. Drake May goes 3. Penix Jr., Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy. You can, if you're a Chicago fan, you can point those 5 players and say, I'll make an argument. It's gotten weird in Chicago. I'll just say that.
Number one pick, and you get the 6th best quarterback drafted in the first 12 picks, or at least so it looks like. The hit piece, I know we talked about it a little bit on Sunday. I find it hilarious. A big part of that hit piece is that Caleb Williams can't motion players. And on the Hail Mary play, the Sunday night or Monday night after the hit piece comes out, he literally hits one of his players with the football when DJ Moore is motioning across the offense. Not great. Not great. I am concerned about Caleb Williams. I don't think Ben Johnson went there because of Caleb Williams. I will see how long this Caleb Williams things last, depending on how he's able to play. However, I will say this as well. He was better under Ben Johnson than he was the previous year. So I do think there's still a chance this goes okay, but you don't love to see it if you're a Bears fan.
Yeah, I love the script. The 15 plays, obviously, always scripted to start. I'll say this. You know, he had an opportunity, Ben Johnson, to take Jaden Daniels. The Commanders wanted him. They ended up settling for Dan Quinn and end up in an NFC championship game. Penix looks legit. We'll just say that. He had a rushing touchdown as well. Wasn't known for his mobility, obviously, in college. Monday night, the doubleheader. Do you like the doubleheader on a Monday night?
No, I don't. I like having one game. However, I will say this. On the West Coast, it is kind of nice having the doubleheader. Because on the East Coast, I would hate this. The second game is supposed to kick off at 10 o'clock at night. You're done at 2 in the morning. That is ridiculous. For someone who has a kid on the West Coast, it's kind of nice to get the 7 o'clock kickoff. Because I know I'll be able to watch the second half of this game absolutely uninterrupted. But here's the problem. We only have 3 4 o'clock games on Sunday. I want more football on Sunday afternoon when I'm dialed in and locked in. I don't need an extra game on Monday. I don't need 9 in the morning. Like, make it 5 and 5. Give me a more balanced schedule with these Sunday afternoon games. I know we all want to watch Philly KC. That might not be a very good game, Patrick. Give me the opportunity to throw that Tampa Houston one in there.
Roger, get a hold of Samich. He's going to fix the league for you. You only had 130 million people watching your Super Bowl last year. Samich is upset, and we're going to get it fixed for you. Tampa Bay, 277. Tampa Bay's at Houston. All right, so a couple things here. One, Houston is 2.5 off the 2 opener. So still sub 3. 42.5 on the total. Let's have a conversation about CJ Stroud. Is he getting help? No, he was pressured on 41% of his dropbacks. The Rams did anything they wanted to do against that offensive front. Now, Tampa Bay, specifically offensive line, is banged up. You mentioned Atlanta outplaying Tampa. The difference late was Baker.
Yeah, Baker was off.
And there's a real conversation about Baker Mayfield now being a top seven guy, a legit franchise quarterback. And again, even banged up, I don't think I can lay this with Houston because of the offensive front and the issues. What do you have?
Yeah, look, Baker's been awesome. Sliding doors. If he doesn't go number one, and we never thought he was going to go number one, and he goes to a half-decent organization instead of that dumpster fire that was in Cleveland, he's probably never thought of as a bust, which is what people thought of because of where he was drafted, not because of the talent. You look at it back and you go to a year prior to that draft, people thought he was a third-round pick, a second-day pick. Not the number one overall quarterback and player selected in the NFL draft. His life would have been very different had we not had the number one pick and all of those commercials on television when he was in Cleveland. I like Houston here now that we're under three. I do think that this offense is going to be a little bit better against the Tampa defense that, to me, is not nearly as good as what we saw with the Rams. I don't think the front for Tampa is as dominant as the front for the Los Angeles Rams was. I still think they get pressure because that Houston offensive line is an absolute train wreck. But I do think they have enough time to protect C.J. Stroud and able to push the ball down the field a little bit to Nico Collins, something they could not do against the Rams. I still love the under, Patrick.
I do too.
We talked about this under at 46.5 last week on Sharp Money on Friday. Or I'm sorry, on VSiN, whatever your show is. VSiN Primetime. What is it?
VSiN Live.
VSiN Live. There it is. VSiN Live Friday on SiriusXM Radio. We talked about this at 46.5. It's 42.5. I would still play the under. In fact, Patrick, I went and found a 21.5 first half number and played the under yesterday.
Let's go.
Because this is. Houston is a generational under team when their defense is this good and their offensive line is this bad. If you are getting any type of pass rush against them, I think it's under. I do like Houston minus the 2.5. I have a lot more money bet on the under in this game. I also think you can look at Houston running back props, which are unfortunately not out yet in most places, and play toward the under, specifically Nick Chubb. This is a very good run stop unit for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Chubb is running behind a very bad offensive line run blocking unit here. So I do think Nick Chubb under his rushing prop, it is up now 50.5 over at DraftKings. Give me the hard under on Nick Chubb, who may not even get the lion's share of the carries in a backfield that's being contested right now.
Okay. Mike Somich, Patrick Maher. Again, if you're catching Sharp Money post Thursday, we drop an episode on Sunday. This was 46.5. You're getting the worst of the under at this point. I still like the under here. Obviously, you'd prefer play the 46.5 under, now adjusted down to 42.5. That's quite an adjustment. Love the under. Let's go 279 Chargers at Vegas. Now the Bauer situation is tenuous. What a spot. All of a sudden, this overrated Chargers team off a historic win in Brazil.
Overrated.
An overrated Chargers team at Vegas, and I'm catching 3.5. Yes, please. Give me all of the 3.5.
Oh, the darlings. The Las Vegas Raiders and the Chargers right now, the darlings of power ratings. Everybody upgrading both of those teams after week one. Geno Smith looks like a professional quarterback. You talk about Baker Mayfield being top seven. Geno Smith's not at that level, but he knows what he's doing when he is behind center there. Throws for 368 yards against a depleted secondary there for the New England Patriots. Look, I'm kind of waiting around. I'm in the weeds here, Patrick. I'm waiting for a Chargers 3 because I do like the Chargers a little bit in this spot. I do think the Chargers are the better football team. I really loved what I saw from the Chargers receiving units. I'm worried about what we get from Brock Bowers in this game because of the injury. He says he's going to play. His team says they're not sure yet. He's a big piece of that offense. Kind of like the over a little bit as well.
Hey.
Because I'm not sold. I'm going to go out. You know what? Screw it. I'm taking it here. We're going hot take. Ashton Jeanty stinks. Ashton Jeanty is a person who is built, a running back who is built on opportunity and number of carries. If you go back and you watch what he was doing at Boise State last year, it was all about getting 30, 35 carries a game. He's not explosive. The Raiders are going to have to throw the football to be able to put up points. I think they rely on Geno Smith here and the weapons that he has, which actually are not that bad. Give me the over in this Chargers-Vegas game, because I don't think Genty's going to be able to run the football, which means they're going to go to the air, and we're going to see some points, Patrick.
Ashton Genty stinks. That is the episode two of Sharp Money. Also, not liking two games on a Monday night, Mike Somich, his ass is on fire with the takes. I'll say this. Remember, part of your arsenal when handicapping, you're going to have multiple outs and also injury report. It's a stay away if Bowers doesn't play. It's up in the air right now. If Bauer plays, he is the ultimate weapon. It's 3.5 with Vegas. I don't hate the over. I think the Chargers defense is bad, and I don't think that was a representation against that Chiefs offense where Mahomes had nothing. Okay, we round back to the top, and our standalone games this year so far, Minnesota, Chicago was tremendous.
Banger.
We just talked about the Brazil game.
Banger.
Dallas showed up and proved something on the Monday night.
Banger.
We've had banger after freaking banger. And I'll tell you something else. Oh, how about it? What people are calling an instant classic, which I told you on Sunday night, rinse, repeat. I was bored to tears with Buffalo and the Ravens. But I'll say this. The game I'm looking forward to the most in week two is the Thursday night affair. Washington at Green Bay. Green Bay opened 2.5. It's painted 3.5 off the win against the Lions. And you got a fat total up to 49.
Yeah, just shoot this game into my veins, Patrick, because I cannot wait. And by the way, don't get used to the bangers. Next week, we got Miami Buffalo on Thursday night and Kansas City and the Giants on Sunday night. Can't wait to watch those. Totally will, but not quite to the level that we're getting tonight here with Washington and Green Bay. Is anyone surprised what I'm about to say? Give me the Packers, baby. They're still underrated in this market. There's threes out there, 3-110. That is a click for me. I think this Packers team is the real deal. I have them rated as the second best team in the NFC, the third best team in the NFL. I was higher on them than the market before the Detroit game, before the Parsons trade. Those are both upgrades for me. This Green Bay defense, I think, is dominant. And I don't trust this Washington defense. I think that the you kind of got a false flag in that first game against the Giants, where the Giants were just hapless and we saw pressure consistently on the Washington side. Keep an eye on the Green Bay offensive line. This becomes less of an excitement play here if we do have Tom and I believe it's Adams, who are both questionable to play tonight. Those are two important pieces of an offensive line that is very good but does not have a ton of depth. All that being said, Jordan Love is the dude. This offense has multiple weapons, and I think this might be one of the top five defense in the NFL. Give me the Packers, lay the three.
Look, less innovation on Thursday nights. Efficacy in the red zone goes down a tick. I'll say this. I think most believe Washington went sideways in the offseason. Amos, the rookie cornerback. Lattimore is healthy. Kinlaw is beef up front. And Payne was awesome against the Giants. Also, the Giants, with that fearsome front four, only 2 sacks. Against Washington in week one, so that offensive line held up. You mentioned Green Bay's defense, which with Micah is such a difference maker. I'm going to go under the 49 here. Ooh. On a Thursday night affair with the Commanders and the Green Bay Packers.
What are your takes here on Jaden Daniels being tough to prepare on a short week? That's one thing I've heard from quite a few people, that be with just 4 days to prepare for Jaden Daniels, it could be a problem.
Well, let me ask you a question. Were they good on third and fourth down last year, the Commanders, or were they historic?
They were historic.
Okay, well, then let me ask you a question. What'd they do against the Giants on third and fourth down? They did nothing. They didn't attempt a fourth down, and they were terrible on third down and still were in complete control of that game. That's because you have a specimen that controls the freaking football game in Jaden Daniels, and like I said, a better defense. Washington's legit. The regression that is expected, I think people are going to be very disappointed.
If you were starting a franchise, you taking Daniels or Love right now?
Stop, Mike, you're cute.
Oh, come
you
on.
No, you're cute. It's cute. It's the conversation I have with my friends about Jared Goff. Jared Goff was recently ranked the 16th best player in football. I'm going to be very clear if you're listening to Sharp Money. Jared Goff is very much a below average quarterback. Ask Sean McVay, 26 years old. He said, please get him out of here. 1 year later, won a Super Bowl with Stafford. What matters? Mobility. Does Love have it? He does. Does he have Jaden Daniels? He does not, as far as mobility. Daniels changes everything. He's impossible to prepare for. Jaden Daniels, also a tremendous pocket passer. Stop with the questions.
So you take Love. Is that what I'm hearing?
Okay. And we're about to get out of here, but you have to be realistic with me right now and stop. Think about your children. Think about your child. Think about your family. Your family's on the line. You're taking Love over Jaden Daniels.
No,
I'm
taking Daniels. It is closer.
Thank you.
It is closer than I think people think. I think they're both top eight quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And I that to me is they're not top four, which means they are sitting between 5 and 8. And you could argue where they're sitting in there, but that is that I like both top eight, neither top four, which means that it's at least a discussion point, Patrick, not so open and shut. Props for tonight. Any props from you?
No, I got nothing. I just the under on tonight. Well, let me just finish up on that. I do love Love. And it's almost like one of the better quarterback performances was a couple of years ago. It was obviously Green Bay Thanksgiving at Detroit. Detroit was peaking, and Love played a perfect game. When he is at his peak, he was injured last year. He doesn't have a ton to throw to. When he's coming off the run of Jacobs, he is exquisite. I'm just saying. A little tougher to prepare for than Daniels. You got a prop tonight?
I got two of them for you, Patrick. Actually, I'll throw out three there. I play Jordan Love over rush yards tonight, 5.5. I do think that this is a game where they need to throw the football. I don't think Josh Jacobs has that much success on the ground. That means the Love scramble is definitely in play. 5.5, a low enough number for me. Receiving wise, the one thing I trust is that Tucker Kraft is going to get his. So give me Tucker Kraft here over reception yards. You can get him at 41.5. He's become the go-to guy at tight end, and we are consistently seeing tight end targets. If you want to take his touchdown prop, that's +195 as well. Don't hate that. But I think Tucker Kraft through the air and Jordan Love on the ground both go over their props tonight.
Pure theater in Green Bay, perfect weather, great setting, two Super Bowl contenders with the Commanders and the Packers. That's it. It's simple. It's sharp money wherever you get your podcast. Remember, we'll be back on Sunday. Very simple formula. Look ahead, reacting to each week. Then on Thursday, RTB, we run the board. Ready, set, bet for Mike Somich on weekends. VSiN at the track, VSiN live on YouTube. You can catch me on Mad Dog Sports Radio, VSiN live. Anything else?
Survivor plays. Real quick for you, Patrick.
This, not an easy week.
No, let's say you want to keep Baltimore in the back pocket, which I think is the correct strategic thing to do here, because there's some more difficult weeks coming up that you will want to have Baltimore sitting there. Only 2% of the survivor field gets knocked out. First time in 6 years, it's not 18% plus gets knocked out in the first week. Who are you going? If I say you can't take Baltimore, that you have to keep them in your back pocket, where do you go as your survivor play?
Well, I already used Arizona. So I know many will be using Arizona hosting Carolina. What concerns me, and of course you're going to want to try to save the Ravens. What concerns me is a letdown spot for Buffalo, but I might have to take the Bills.
Ooh, see, I want to save the Bills too. Can I get a little nutty here? Give me the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys have the...
Mike, you're drunk.
I think the Cowboys have an offense that I trust. I thought I actually upgraded them off last Thursday night, and the Giants, oh man, Russell Wilson, dude, it's over.
There might be a spark at the half, though. That's what I'd be concerned about.
Yes, but you know what? If we're pulling Russell Wilson at the half, what's the score, Patrick? 21-3? 24-3? Like, you're telling me I'm up three touchdowns and I have to hold off Jackson Dart. That's fine. I'll take it.
Are you indeed using with your hard-earned money Dallas this week?
I have five entries. At least one of them, I actually think three, will probably be on Dallas.
And predominantly everybody going to be on the Ravens, correct?
I think that you're going to get 28%, 30% on the Ravens. I did use the Cardinals in two of the entries. I used the Broncos in the two last week. The Broncos entries will be on the Cardinals. The ones I can't use the Cardinals, I believe, will be on the Dallas Cowboys. So I do think, they're better than the Giants with Russell Wilson out there. So I'm probably going to try and skirt by here with a couple teams that people don't want to use down the line. If you haven't used the Cardinals, this is the time, by the way. They have a
totally
week 5 matchup against Tennessee. I would rather use them against Carolina than what Cam Ward will be in 5 weeks.
He's Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. We'll see you Sunday night here on Sharp Money. Good luck with your bets.